Well, good morning. Good morning, 11 o'clock here. Good morning online. Really glad to see you here. Join with us. I'm really grateful to be here. Are you grateful to be here?
Yes.
Online, are you grateful to be where you are watching us? Yeah, I hope so. This series on community has made me so grateful for our community. Our community, not just fellowship, but the church. It's made me so, so grateful. In fact, during this series, we've talked about what kind of community Jesus has shaped us to be. We talked about how we are a community of humility and purity. The second week, we talked about how we are a community that values other people, that we're a community that does hard work of complex forgiveness, that we are a community of God-honoring relationships, that we want to focus all of our resources to the work of Jesus. And last week, Pastor Ray shared with us that we are a community that appreciates God's grace. We are a community that is reshaped by Jesus. So if you are just joining us now, or if you're online and you are wondering, what is the vibe of fellowship? What do I feel when I'm a part of this church? Well, it has to do all with Jesus. In fact, the passage we're in today starts with the very clear central point of our community, and that's Jesus. Let's read as we continue on in the book of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 20, verse 17. The words are on the screen as well. It says, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. He took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, see, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day. That's what makes our community so special, is Jesus' death and resurrection. None of us are a part of this community because we are worthy to be a part of such a great community. No, we all are a part of this community because our lives have been transformed by that foundational truth of Jesus. Amen? Amen just means, do you agree? And if you agree, you say amen. It's not something weird. It's just something churches do, all right? Or online, if you want to give a thumbs up emoji, that could be the equivalent of amen online, I suppose. You know, we are a community that has been stitched together from all walks of life, over 120 nationalities just at fellowship alone. People from all different backgrounds, all different stories, all different socioeconomic situations. We are a community that is very, very diverse, aren't we? Look to your right, look to your left. You'll see people that are different than you, different stories than you, different preferences than you, even different points of view than you. And we are a community that has been knit together, woven together through Jesus' death and resurrection into this beautiful tapestry called the church. And fellowship is just one of the many churches that Jesus is the head of. And as beautiful as that rich tapestry is, there is something inside of each and every one of us. There's something inside of us that may be lying dormant, but when it awakens, it threatens to tear apart the very fabric of our community. It is like a virus that is inside of each and every one of us. It is something that is highly contagious and totally toxic. It's something that, as much as we try hard to make this the best community, if we don't address this toxicity in a community, a group of people, that it will have what we value disintegrate before our very eyes. That we're going to see today, it's something that we cannot mask ourselves from. It's not something that we can inoculate ourselves from. No, it's something that Jesus has given us the answer. And we're going to see it's not just about protecting ourselves, it's actually about eradicating that problem in our community. And we're going to see how Jesus does it first and also how he commands us to do it. So the bad news first, and then we get to some good news. The bad news is what the toxic poison is. You want to know what it is? The toxic poison is seeking greatness for me. Not me seeking greatness for me, you seeking greatness for you too. We all seek greatness. We all want to be great, right? Who doesn't like being served? Who doesn't like being recognized? We all want to be great. We live in one of the greatest cities in the world, don't we? Where else are you going to see three Lamborghinis as you're taking the train? We live in a great place. It's the biggest, the fastest, the strongest. This city is great. And it attracts people who pursue greatness too, doesn't it? In fact, you think of everyone in your home country. Chances are everyone in your home country looks at you living in Dubai and goes, wow, they are one of the great ones. They're one of the ones that has that high position, or they're making lots of money, or they're sending us pictures of the biggest this or that, or they ate the Dubai chocolate bar first. But there's something in all of us that wants to be great, doesn't it? You know at work, you know who your boss is, right? You know who your boss is, and who hasn't thought, you know what, I could do a better job than my boss. I want to be the boss. I want to just move a little bit more in promotion. Or you work really hard on a project and you work really hard on something, and then one of your coworkers is thanked by your supervisor and say, hey, good job on the project. And you're like, wait a second, I did all the work and they get all the credit? What about me? Have you ever thought that? Yeah, or we even want to be great in our relationships. Our relationships that are so complex, and we can find ourselves wanting to be served instead of to serve. We want to be great online. We want to be so great that sometimes we'll take a picture and we'll want to post a picture and we'll go, no, not that one. No, I just want something authentic. Let me see. There we go. Oh, good. And it takes us 20 pictures for No Makeup Monday. Like, it's just, right? We want to project greatness to others, don't we? We want to post on our social media the highlight reels of our life. There's no one that says, you know, I feel horrible and rotten, and here's the worst picture of me ever, and then just displays it for the world to see. We want other people to see greatness in our lives, don't we? Yes. Inside each and every one of us, we kind of want to be above where we really are. So as we process what it means for a community, we have to realize that there is a problem, and that is seeking greatness for me. We all want to see greatness for ourselves. In fact, we see this condition of the heart surface in a woman named Salome. Now, Salome was a close friend in the circle of Jesus' followers. Some people would say she may have even had some VIP status. We know that Salome was there at the cross when Jesus was crucified. Salome was also one of the first women to carry spices to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. And while Jesus was still living, she has just heard the news that Jesus is going to suffer and die and come back to life. And so Salome sees, ooh, this is a good opportunity for her to seek greatness for herself and for her family. This is an opportunity for her to grab, and she makes this request that's a power grab. Look at what it says in verse 20. It says, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to Jesus with her sons. And kneeling before Jesus, she asked him for something, and he said to her, what do you want? And she said to him, say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your kingdom. Jesus, you know me. You my sons. Please, if you haven't looked at their LinkedIn profile, look at their LinkedIn profile. They would make great vice chairs with you. They would love to be at your right hand, your left hand, two positions of power, right? So not quite as much power with Jesus, but definitely power over others. She says, Jesus, just look at how wonderful they are. Jesus, could my son sit at your left and your right hand? And we can't blame her, really, because she and her sons and a bunch of other God's people in that time were oppressed by the Romans. The Romans were lording authority over them, and there was unfair taxation, and there were all sorts of laws that really pressed them down. And they were fighting just to survive. And so she sees an opportunity. Jesus, there are people that are oppressing us. Can you make my sons over them? And a lot of times we think that's the problem. We think that all we need is just a little bit more power over the ones that have power. And it's always being just one up in someone on the ladder of authority. And she says, Jesus, can you have one of my sons sit on your left and one on the right? Now, how many hands does Jesus have? Two, that's right. How many sons does she have? Ooh, look at that. Doesn't that work nicely? And if her two sons sit on either side of her, how many positions of power are left? Zero, right? If her two sons, one on the right, one on the left, it's not like Jesus has another right hand or 10 other right hands, right? And so Jesus says to them, you guys don't even know what you're asking. Look what it says in 22. Jesus answered, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? Are you ready to go through all this pain and suffering that I just told you about? Well, they have in their minds that they'll be elevated to the position of Jesus' right and left, and they say, yeah, it's worth it. Jesus, we are able, they said to him. So he said to them, well, you will drink my cup. You will experience pain. But to sit at my right and my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. Jesus says those positions of authority aren't even up to me. It's not. It's up to my Father. It's not up to me to grant who sits on my right hand and who sits on my left. And yeah, you guys will face hardships, but if you're clamoring for power, it's not up to me. Well, the other 10 heard about this, and they heard what had been asked of. They heard that some guys that they trusted had then, their mommy had gone and talked to Jesus and had said, hey, Jesus, elevate these two above the other 12. Now, 12 minus 2 is 10. That's right. You are math scholars. I knew it. So there's 10 left over, 10 people, and look at their response. We see, this is where we see that this seeking greatness for me is highly contagious, right? Because look at what they say in verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. Indignant. We don't use the word indignant a lot. I don't think there's an indignant emoji. If there is an indignant emoji, why don't you just put it online? We'll look through and find it. But indignant means to be irritated or to be angry or to be annoyed. It comes from the root word to shudder or shake. Have you ever been so mad that you shudder or you shake? Boy, children, if you see your parents shuddering and shaking, just you got to know they're really mad. But it's when a great injustice has been done to us to shudder, shake, to just be indignant, like the disciples looking at these two guys. How could you do that to us? How could we had bread and fish together, and now you're trying to get up over me? No, we were in this together. Or maybe they thought, wait, you're not worthy of to sit at Jesus' right and your left hand? No, I've been here longer than you. I know things better than you. No, it shouldn't be you, it should be me. And another one might have chimed in, wait a second, it shouldn't be you, it should be me. No, it shouldn't be any of you, it should be me. And 10 people found themselves wrapped up in so much anger. They were shuddering and shaking at how this may have been unfair. They were indignant. How dare you try to seek a position over me? If you seek a position over me, I'll seek a position over you. They were just so annoyed. And Jesus sees the group and he says, hey, wait a second. Jesus called to them and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Then he says this to his community. He says, it shall not be. It shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Once again, in Jesus' kingdom, we see our values are turned right side up. Where, yes, we want to be great, but Jesus says, if you want to be great, be a servant. If you want to be great, then serve other people. If you want the secret to greatness, if you're looking and you've come to this city or you're watching online and you said, I just want the secret to greatness, I tell you what, this is it. If you really want to be great in our community, if you want to be great like Jesus, be a servant. If you want to be first, be a slave. Serve others. It's about you, not about me. But somehow we don't really appreciate that being a servant is being great. We think of greatness as something else. Imagine with me if we had someone famous that came in through those doors and, I don't know, let's say Taylor Swift, who knows, somebody famous, all right? Some of the ladies were like, yeah, and some of the guys were like, oh, I don't know, messy, okay? Somebody famous came in, all right? So we have somebody famous that comes in, they walk on the stage. I guarantee you, what would happen to the crowd? Exactly, the phone, that's what would happen, wouldn't it? Everyone gets out their phone, you're posting online, look who I saw, look, they're so great. Oh man, we want to be great, don't we? If there was a sign-up list and I told you, we only have one representative and it's a lottery to sign up because we are going to fly you and that famous person, we're going to fly you in a helicopter to the Burj Al Arab, the landing pad. They're going to roll out a red carpet for you and they're going to serve you and you will just be pampered and taken care of and be able to ask all these questions. Do you think we'd have people sign up for that? Of course. We'd be like, yeah, that'd be awesome. Who doesn't love to be served? Man. We value service, we value being served, but do we really believe that the greatest, the first, is the one who serves? Think about the last time you were served. The last time you were served, maybe it was a delivery driver dressed in some shade of green or orange, and they show up and they give you something, they serve you something that you ordered. Maybe it was Amazon delivery. They gave you a package that you ordered. Maybe it was at a restaurant and you were served at a restaurant. Maybe it was a valet and you were served. Think about the last time you were served, all right? Did you value that person enough to even make eye contact with them? Did you think they were great enough just to look at them eye to eye, to respect them as another human made in God's image? Did you smile? Did you ask anything? Or did you just not see greatness standing right before you, someone serving you? I doubt that anybody took out their phone and said, oh my goodness. Oh, you're here. This is great. Wait just a second. Let's take a selfie. Oh, I have to post about this. I can't believe this. This is so great. Thank you so much. Wow, this is greatness right before me. No, because deep down, we want to be served instead of to serve. And that's the humanity that Jesus died for. And Jesus has told his disciples so many times over and over again that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. That's right. In Matthew 19:30, it says, but many who are first will be last and the last will be first. In Matthew 20, it says, so the last will be first, and the first, last. It's great. In my Bible, these two verses are on the same pages as the passage that we're in today. It's that in that close proximity, and yet his disciples still don't get it. They still don't get how amazing it is to serve instead of to be served. We really, if you are serving, you know it's better to give than to receive, but a lot of times we don't value serving, we value being served. So as a community that is reshaped by Jesus, we have to see that he gave us the perfect example. He gave us the perfect example. The poison in our group is seeking greatness for me. The antidote is serving others greatly. Instead of seeking greatness for me, I'm going to serve others greatly. I'm going to serve others greatly, just like Jesus. Jesus gave us the greatest example. He says, it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, even as the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the greatest person that has ever set foot on this planet. If Jesus had a LinkedIn profile, his CV would be so comprehensive. In fact, we're going to look at just a snapshot of how great Jesus is. All right, in Colossians 1. Listen to how great Jesus is. Colossians 1 reminds us that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, the best of the best of the best. That is our Jesus. And I don't care what's on your CV, this trumps everybody's CVs. This is so much greater than anybody could possibly hope to be. And if we want to see true greatness, this is a snapshot. This is just a glimpse. It's the tip of the iceberg to the greatness of Jesus. And yet we see in our passage that he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to give his life as a ransom to buy us back from the penalty of sin. Our sin broke God's laws, broke our relationship. And we have all done that. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray, each of us on our own way. But God has laid on his son Jesus the penalty of all of our sins. He's paid the price. And there's nothing that we've done to earn that, but he has paid the price of our rebellion against God's laws. It's nice. It's wonderful. It is life-changing for someone else to pay the price. And I know that there's many new laws that are out there that formed this year, and I found out the hard way some of those new driving laws because I got fined. I got fined with these new laws to show me I'm a lawbreaker. Rightly so, we want laws, because if we didn't have speeding laws, for example, everyone would go as fast as they would. None of the roads would be safe. It would be disorder, right? So the laws are there to prevent us from further injury. And there's so many fines out there. And my wife was registering our car, and she texted me and said, here's how much we owe for fines. And I said, "Ooh, I think there's a clerical error. Can you recalculate?" And so she said, "No, this is really the amount of fines." And I thought, oh man, this is wild. This is absolutely wild. And the first time when she told me this is how many fines, we thought, I have to confess to you, I sought greatness for me, not for her. And I thought, oh, she broke all the laws. But really, I was the lawbreaker. And when I thought, where are all these fines coming from? She said, well, here, the fine for this, the fine for this, the fine for this, the fine for this. And I was like, wow, I am a lawbreaker. And it would be great if she would text me back and say, hey, by the way, all these fines, I don't know what happened, but somebody walked up and they paid all these fines for us. And so now we can be free. I thought, wouldn't that be awesome? Who else has gotten fined, by the way? Raise your hand if you've been fined. Yeah? I want to see if I'm not alone. Okay. Good. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not alone. That's right. So it's awesome. Now, Jesus has paid the ultimate fine. The ultimate fine, because the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And yes, I had to pay all those fines. But the fine of death, there's no way for me to pay and still live. That's why Jesus died for us. He paid the price. And if you want to know more about this, about what the Bible teaches about this, Jesus dying in our place to pay for our sins, you're already math scholars because you knew that 12 minus 2 is 10. So now you're going to be theologians, all right? The theology is called penal substitutionary atonement, all right? And it just simply means this. Jesus took the punishment, that's the penalty, all right? That's the penal part. By dying in our place, that's the substitution part, to satisfy God's justice and to bring us forgiveness. That's the atonement, at one mint, how we're made at one with God. And that, Jesus community, is good news. Amen? We are part of this community because the greatest one came to serve us. He served us to the point of death. Would we too be a community that could serve one another as Jesus has served? He came not to be served, but to serve. He came to serve. In fact, we see not only did he serve all of humanity with his death, that he serves with his life in what happens next to him. There were two men asking Jesus to be healed. Then they went out of Jericho, and a great crowd followed Jesus. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, son of David." The crowd rebuked them, "Shh," telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, son of David." And stopping, the great Jesus called them and said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" He didn't say, "Tell me why you're worthy. Tell me why I should heal you." Jesus spoke greatness. And he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" He showed service. He spoke greatness. And the men recognized who Jesus was. They've called him Lord several times. They've said, "Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord," then when Jesus says, "What can I do? What do you want me to do for you?" They say, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." He said, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. Jesus touched their eyes, and they could see, but they were forever transformed because of his service to them. They didn't one day just be able to see and, like, "Jesus, you opened our eyes. Jesus, we can see the sky, we can see the ground, so Jesus, see you later," and just walk on. They didn't do that. No. They were totally transformed because how Jesus served them, and they followed him. The master servant, they followed Jesus. May we be a community that has the opportunity, instead of creating great lights for everyone to see us, instead of us trying to hog the spotlight or searching for affirmation online, may we be a community that serves one another greatly. May we be a community, instead of trying to be in the spotlight or be a bright light, may we simply reflect God's light for others to see. And as a community, powerful things can happen when a whole community reflects God's light. It reminds me a lot about the solar station in Al-Qudra Desert. If you've been out there lately, you've seen it. It's all these mirrors that simply reflect the light of the sun into one spot that burns brightly throughout the day. You can see it in the middle of the day. It's the middle of the desert. It's just this burning hot white light that is radiating in the middle of the desert. It's brighter than the daylight. May we be a community that doesn't try and grab the spotlight for ourselves, but simply reflects the sun for the world to see. May we be a community that serves one another. May we live this out. Instead of seeking greatness for me, can we serve others greatly? We serve others greatly. May we be a community that does that. a community that does that spectacularly. And here's a list of what it might look like in our community, all right? But what it, we all know what seeking greatness for me looks like, but serving others greatly. Instead of seeking the best, we look to give the best. Instead of comparison, we can be a community of appreciation. We're not comparing with one another anymore. And let's face it, we all compare, don't we? On social media, who's been on social media in the last 12 months? Yeah, yeah. You're always looking at someone else's highlight reel and going, oh, my life doesn't look like that. We wouldn't be comparing. If we serve others greatly, we can be a community that serves one another. I don't have to compare with Pastor Kwan and go, man, he's so in shape. He has hair. No, I can appreciate Pastor Kwan and I can say, wow, Kwan, I'm so glad you have hair. You wear hair like I never could. Even if I had hair, I wouldn't even look that good, right? Let's go back to the list and continue to unpack it where we can appreciate each other. Instead of saying, hey, if there's a need, how can I get out of this? We say, hey, how can I help? Instead of competition, we can be a community of cooperation. We don't have to compete. 11 o'clock, you don't have to compete for cookies or coffee. And I've heard, maybe other services, I've seen you 11 o'clock, there's competition for the cookies. Maybe even leaving the service before it's done just to get first in line to the coffee. Or just seeing the cookies and being like, oh, that's great. Oh, my precious. What if today, and if there's cookies left outside, no, it's because the 9 o'clock service listened to the same service and they saved some cookies for you, okay? But what about to even as we have cookies and coffee, the person in the front of the line that got there first, maybe you've waited 10 minutes for a coffee and you say, wait a second, first shall be last shall be first. Hey, person in the back of the line, what do you want? Oh, cappuccino? Okay, can you just give me a cappuccino, please? Great, I'll be back after I wait in line again. I'm going to serve this person. Here you go. Here's your cappuccino. Now let me wait in line again. I know what you're all thinking right now. You're all thinking, well, then I'm going to be last. But what if we were a community that said, hey, instead of, oh, no, I can't do that because I'm really busy or because of this, that. What if we just said, you know what? I'll prioritize this. What if we were a community, instead of saying me first, we said, please, you first. Man, that would revolutionize the coffee line. But it would revolutionize our community, wouldn't it? That we would serve one another like Jesus serves. And many of you, by the way, you serve faithfully. And I want to thank God for your service. You are living out this message already. And many people serve at Fellowship. You know, we have over 1,000 people that serve every single week at Fellowship. That's good news. Amen? Yeah. And yet that 1,000 that serves is about 20% of Fellowship. Which means if 20% serves, we have 80% that can apply today's message, and there's great opportunities to serve. There are great opportunities to serve. In fact, we have the production team. We're grateful to God for the production team, tech and everything that has electricity in it, production team. Well done. Thank you for serving faithfully so that we can see the slides and the graphics. We have the connection team and the blue shirts. Praise God for the connection team. Thank you for helping us to get connected. We have the food bank people that collect the food and then they store it away for when it's needed, taking it to there after the service. And if you don't know how to serve, guess what? We have a whole department of ministry called Serve. It's a creative name, I know. It's called Serve, that's right. And we will help you to find a place to serve if you don't know where you want to serve. In fact, you just scan the QR code. It'll bring you to an interest form. And if you say you're interested in something, you're not signing up for life. It's just an interest form, all right? But we want to unleash the other 80% to serve like Jesus. We have people serving in our kids' ministry. I was just walking through there and saw men and women serving our kids in orange shirts. In fact, some of you are wearing orange shirts because you served at the 9 o'clock service and you're here to get fed after pouring out into the lives of the kids. Man, we would love to have 20 or 30 more people serving our kids. And if you don't like kids, we'll train you to like kids. We'll train you to like kids, right? And if you absolutely can't stand children, well, there's a lot of other opportunities, okay? Small groups. We have small groups that just, there's leaders and there's small group participants and all they need is a place to meet. So maybe you open up your space and you want to host a group. Whatever it is, we have so many different opportunities to serve. Scan the QR code and ask yourself this question. What does it look like for me to serve others greatly? What does it look like for me to serve others greatly? After the last service, a man came up to me, and I didn't expect this question, and he said to me, how can I serve you? And I thought, oh, well, he's applying it right now. And we talked about how he's wired and his experiences and how God has crafted him. And then he said, this is great. I would love to serve on the tech team. I'd love to serve with computers. I'd love to serve. This is really exciting to me. Wow, I didn't realize this was an opportunity. Our serve department would love to talk to you about serving. There are some of you out there that are serving so much. I want you to hear this message as a praise God, way to go. You look like Jesus. You don't have to serve anymore, okay? I'm not saying you have to serve more. In fact, some of you serve so much, you maybe need to serve a little bit less. But the vast majority of us, 80% of fellowship, may we be a community that just seeks to serve one another like Jesus. Because as we are a community that asks that question over and over and over again, what does it look like for me to serve others greatly? As God opens up opportunities for us, may we be a community that listens and responds, all for His glory. That would make our community shine like light in darkness. And we are about to have an opportunity after we sing to serve one another greatly, as we go out for coffee after we sing. So let me pray for us that we can practice this as a community. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We know that serving you can be quite complex sometimes. We are busy. We're stretched for time. We're stretched for energy. Father, help us to see what it looks like to serve. We know for some that means serving at the church. For others, that means serving in the family. For others, that means serving among friendship circles. Whatever it is, Father, would you give us a heart of service for one another? We confess to you there are times that we feel entitled, but we need you to continue to transform our hearts, that we would live out that transformation for your glory, Father. We pray all these things in the one who created all things and for whom all things were created, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we pray in Jesus' name through the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's sing.
You all stand with us. Thank you for that reminder, Pastor Bill.